The right to life is explicitly mentioned in our nation's birth certificate, the Declaration of Independence. But abortion is at war with the right to life. Thankfully, when churches get involved, it can make a huge impact on the abortion battle. Pastor John Ensor is the president of a group called Passion Life. He recently wrote an op-ed on Real Clear Religion about Charlie Kirk's legacy, including his pro-life values. Pastor Ensor writes, quote, "With the passing of Charlie Kirk, we have lost a voice that resonated with young men and summoned them to be good men, even godly men, and to know that a good portion of that manhood is expressed in getting married, having babies, and proudly serving as the point man for their family," end quote. Pastor John Ensor, president of Passion Life, joins us on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and it's good to talk with you, Pastor Ensor. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
It's always good to be with you, Jerry.
Why don't you, we'll start by asking you what Passion Life is, and I understand you do a lot of international work, and you know, abortion is, I guess, in the, around the world. In America, about, you know, we, our country represents maybe 3% of the worldwide abortions that are committed every year. Wow. So it's a real problem internationally, too, not just in America.
That means, that means that 97% of the moral crisis of abortion is a world missions challenge. And around 2010, after giving 20-some years of my life to developing pregnancy help centers through churches in Boston and Miami and L.A. and other places, I just decided when I came across that 3% figure that I needed to give some of my time and expertise to seeing if we could translate the pregnancy help movement into a world missions movement. And Passion Life was created to basically teach biblical pro-life ethics to pastors and leaders that would in turn be taught to their people and produce pregnancy centers where they're most needed in the world, places like Cuba, China, Vietnam, Romania, you know, wherever abortion is most concentrated in the world.
I understand soon you'll be going to China, and this is not your first trip by any means.
No, I'll be going out to China again. I've been there three and four times a year for many years now, and got back from Cuba recently and Romania. Just got back from Guatemala this summer, where we met with over 800 pastors who wanted to teach their people all over the country to stand for life. So it's a very exciting thing. And, you know, the greatness about it is that, you know, in the U.S., it's all politicized. But once you leave the U.S., you just go to places like China, and abortion is just a reality. And the churches, the believers there want to know how to respond. Same in Vietnam and Cuba. They just want to know what God's will is and how they can do it. So it doesn't have all the political stuff attached to it.
And what is your common response to these people in these other countries? And then we'll shift over to the Charlie Kirk point.
Yeah. Well, basically, my belief, having been involved in this for 35 years, is everything about the life issue can be answered if you just ask four basic questions. Only four. You can always learn more, but there's only four. And these are the four questions that we train pastors and leaders all over the world to answer using the Bible. Number one, what does the Bible say about human life, including life in the womb? That gives you a chance to talk about the value of human life being made in the image of God. And when life begins, the biblical view is that life begins at conception. Number two, what does the Bible say about the shedding of innocent blood? This allows us to look at the intentional killing of innocent people, which God forbids and calls murder. And look at child sacrifice and a few other things. Number three, how do we bring the grace of the gospel to the guilt and the grief of abortion so that people are experiencing God's forgiveness and being set free to be a living testimony of his grace? So you can't go to a place like Vietnam where half the people experienced abortion and not bring the good news along with you. And so that's question three. And number four, what has God called us to do to stop the shedding of innocent blood? And that's the call to rescue the innocent as we see it in Proverbs, and then to look for examples of how other generations did it, like the midwives in Egypt and how they rescued the babies, all the way through history. And I know you love history, and there are plenty of examples about how God's people have come to the rescue of the innocent over the years. And we just want to be faithful on our watch.
And are you having an impact in these places? I mean, and if so, where are some places more receptive than others?
Well, let me give you the quick highlight. We've been in about 30 different countries now over the last 15 years. But Cuba, by all the global data that we could collect, Cuba had the highest abortion rate in the world, more than China even, when we started going there in 2017. Cuba's Christians now have started 22 pregnancy centers across the island, train hundreds and thousands of people across the island, and they want to train these four questions in every church. They started 22 pregnancy help ministries across the island. And in February, when we re-updated all the global data, Cuba is now number 4 in the world. So it's amazing what we can achieve when we're focused on what the Bible says, and we do it in unity, and we try to do it as a movement. And in Cuba, the pastors just started training other pastors, and pastors in one network of churches took it to another network. And even just this past week, we spent a team going back and forth across the island, teaching those four questions and helping more churches start their own pregnancy help ministry. So that's probably the biggest direct. I mean, Cuba is the size of Florida, so it's not the same as going to India or China, but it is, as a test case, it's amazing what impact Christians can have.
It's interesting, by the way, Charlie Kirk's group, Turning Point USA, had a few young college students go almost in an experiment form where they went to Cuba. They said, oh, we hear from the late night talk show hosts. Oh, they're saying Cuba's a great place to visit. You know, you can go as a tourist and so forth. And they said, well, what is it really like? And by the time the video's over, they were talking about the knocks on the door in the middle of the night, you know, and they were all worried as they fled. Charlie Kirk, through videos like that and through his own personal videos and so forth, has had a strong message that's resonated with so many people. And he only died at the age of 31. It's crazy.
I know.
But talk about Charlie Kirk and the pro-life movement, since you wrote an article about it.
Yeah, Charlie is just, he does leave me speechless, to be honest with you. I mean, he started Turning Point at 18 years old. Now, I look back at my own life, and at 18, I only cared about what the Chicago Cubs were doing, you know, pretty much, or, you know, what I was going to be doing on the weekend with my friends. I had no vision for the value of my life and what it was for. And yet the Lord found me as a teenager. And one of the first things that I received as a young Christian teenager was a biblical vision for manhood, for being a godly man, a good man, getting married, having children, and adopting a biblical view toward human sexuality. And when I look at Charlie Kirk, I see him doing that on a massive scale today, or he was doing that up to the point of his death. And it changed my life. That message changed my life when I was 17. I'm 70 years old now, okay? So think of this, the early 70s, sex, rock and roll, drugs, you know, the whole thing. And that singular challenge changed my life and saved me, I think, a bucket of tears over my life. And so I was thrilled when I started to see Charlie talking about manhood and being good men and being protectors, not predators of men and women, of women in their life, and recognizing that, you know, men don't coerce women into killing their own unborn babies. They come to their rescue. They protect them as providers and protectors. So I just see Charlie as somebody who had a platform and an anointing, I would say, to bring this message to this current generation in a way that just thrilled my heart. And I wanted to write something about it that affirmed that, hey, I'm 70, but what Charlie's, you know, message got to me when I was 17 changed my life.
You know, it is interesting that when it comes to men and abortion, even though you usually think of, well, this is a women's right issue, a lot of the push for abortion is kind of like the Playboy male, you know, in effect.
Yeah.
You know, we want to have sex with impunity without any of the consequences. Oh, look, there's a pregnancy that results. Well, take the baby out through abortion. And it's like a lot of men that aren't willing to accept responsibility are a lot of the driving force behind this whole movement, aren't they?
Well, abortion has here's the secret, Jerry. Abortion has always been a men's movement. Always, in every survey taken, men favor legal abortion more than women do. And that's because we all know in our fallen nature that we want abortion to be available because it allows us to be more predatory in our behavior towards women and clean up the mess. That's why all those early feminists, you know, 160 years ago, they were all anti-abortion pro-lifers because they saw that abortion simply fed into the fallen nature of men, and allowed them to be more predatory and to burden women with these problems. So it is a strange thing that in the name of protecting women, we have legalized abortion because most men are just quietly cheering them on.
Interesting. Yeah, you got a good point. Susan B. Anthony, you know, was a feminist, and they even have, there's a pro-life group named after her.
Right.
Now, one of the things that's really so sad in our culture today, John, and I'm sure you would agree with this, is that millions of people have come to believe key lies such as, okay, catastrophic global warming. And you may wonder, well, what does that have to do with abortion? Well, they're choosing to not have children because they're afraid that they'll just be adding to climate change by having children. And they're depriving themselves and their families of the joys of family, of children, of grandchildren, etc.
Oh, it's horrifying. And again, that's why I looked at somebody like Charlie as a real prophet, because he's rescuing his generation from a black hole. I mean, imagine when these kids who grew up afraid of the future and thinking that people are the problem, there's too many people. A, that means they're defying a completely biblical worldview that says there's joy and blessing in children and family. That's where your prosperity and your wealth really is. But B, by the time they're my age at 70 or 80, they're going to be very lonely people without marriage and family. So it is a horrible lie to teach this next generation that they have no future and that the world is careening toward a cataclysmic end if we have more children. It's a lie. And again, Charlie was out there being countercultural, saying, no, let's go out and face the problems of our times, but let's get married and let's have children and let's find out where our real treasure is. And again, I want our next generation to grow up being fulfilled and prosperous in the same way that I've experienced life over the last 70 years. And that is, Christ changed my life, changed my value structures, and it helped me see that the true pathway to happiness in this fallen world with all its aches and pains, the greatest pathway for human happiness is going to be along the pathway of marriage, being a good husband, striving to be a good father, raising good children, and enjoying them for as long as we have them.
All right, John Enzer, PassionLife.org for more information. Thank you, John. All the best.
Hey, God bless.
You too. Bye-bye now.